And we are certainly on this morning. We thank him for being so good to us. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. The Bible goes on to say that the time is coming, and now is, where the true worshiper, God is taking roll call all over the world. Where are the true worshipers? They stand up and they worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God is looking for worshipers to engage him. And that's something he's looking for. Ready to hear your voice, ready to hear the melody of your heart, even when you're under pressure. Hallelujah, God. And we give him glory. We can't be so quick to move on from a place of worship. Sometimes worship transitions and it transitions the whole service. If believers will learn how, some of the things that are ailing them, when they come into the house of God, when they first encounter God, if they would learn how to worship, some of the scales of their eyes would just fall off. Some of the monkeys on their back would drop off. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. We would learn how to engage in worship. Some of the pain in our body would cease to exist. Some of it, the issues of blood, God would dry them up in the midst of worship. Glory to God. We'll learn how to engage our God. Certainly, give honor to the Spirit of Christ this morning, which is the head of my life. The woman of God, my wife, all the saints of God, my children. The Bible is explicit in its expression that man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We see now how that God formed himself a body, which became the mouthpiece of God. He used prophets, priests, kings, apostles, different people in the body of Christ as a mouthpiece. The word of God is essential to the life of a believer, be it personal study, also the inspired word being spoken by a selected vessel within the body of Christ. There's many ways to hear the Father's voice. Sometimes God will speak to you personally concerning certain matters. Sometimes he speaks to us in the word, through the word of God. He speaks to us in nature, different ways, in trials. God has a way of communicating with us. The question is not that God is speaking. And the question becomes, is anybody listening? Song said, are you listening? It's important for us to esteem, as Job said, the words of his mouth more than our necessary food. In other words, we must develop an insatiable appetite for God's word. The word of God is necessary to transform our lives. A new birth is the foundational aspect as we respond to the gospel message. But after that foundation has been laid properly, we must continue to grow and learn more of God. We must mature. This morning, for a few moments, let's begin and look at a familiar passage of Scripture, and let me see if we can lay down a foundation, something that we must continually consider going forth in our lives. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, a familiar passage of Scripture, but let's see if we can pull out something that is needs to be understood relational. We need this. This was spoken many years ago by Hosea. We know the story. We'll revisit that maybe a little bit. The Holy Ghost says the same. How does it read? And we're coming from this particular passage in the Amplified Classic Version. How does it read?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
My people, God's people. The Bible says that God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You're not destroyed because you married to somebody half crazy. Some of us are. You're not destroyed because you got baby kids that act a fool and don't want to listen to their parents. We some do. But that doesn't destroy you. You're not destroyed from a managed pastor that can't keep his tally whacker in his hands. Not the managed ticket or the crazy hot-to-trot evangelist. None of those things destroy you. Not that crooked neighbor that steals from your barn. That is not what destroys the people of God. Hold on. It's not the devil, my God. The Bible says he walks about seeking. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Even the devil is not the reason the Bible says that we are destroyed. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. What else to say here?
Because you, the princely nation,
yes,
have rejected knowledge.
It's showing here at this time how Israel was a nation or a kingdom of priests. And the princely nation, they rejected knowledge. They would not retain the knowledge of God. The Bible said the priest's knowledge was to keep lips, king's lips was to keep knowledge. And that knowledge that comes from God, he's supposed to impart to God's people to keep the word, and the Bible said, like frontlets before your eyes. The word, again, esteem necessary. It's not about, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. So let's read a little bit further here, and then we'll move on.
I will also reject you that you shall be no priest to me.
If you make a choice to reject the knowledge of God, if you make a conscientious choice to not retain God's word in your spirit or hide it in your heart, he said, I'm going to reject you, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, and he also, I'm going to forget your children, where they have a hedge of protection through the word. Now that you reject the knowledge, they're going to suffer. And so it is then, so it is today. When parents refuse to have the knowledge of God in their home, and they wonder why their children are crazy, they wonder why God has rejected the children. Because you won't take out time to take them to church or bring them the knowledge of God some kind of way. Are y'all listening? That must be understood from the get-go. That is how we are destroyed. I don't know God sometimes at all. Other times enough. So let's look here and turn to the book of Philippians. And the third chapter of Philippians. And let's look and see something that the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to us on this morning. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And we're reading from the Amplified Version. How does it read?
Well, my determined purpose is.
Now, watch this. Many of us have things that we purpose in our lives. Those things are the American dream, where we can have enough finances to sustain ourselves, an overflow to compliment those that we love, and a few strangers along the way. We want to store up for the future so that when we're older, we don't have to depend on nobody. We have purpose to achieve goals, we have ambitions. All those things are fine, but the Apostle Paul says that his determined purpose is what?
That I may know him.
That I may know Jesus. What a purpose. His determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may know Jesus. What else is it here?
That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him.
Now, he's saying that I want this initial knowledge of you or relationship with you, but I also want to not stop there. Some of you can relate to it, especially young ladies, a young boy, and sometimes a man that still haven't graduated from his Mac years. Now, he'll come up to you and tell you how fine and fair you are. Now, initially, that engagement of social exchange or intimacy can thrill you, but once he knows you initially, he no longer, or he loses interest and finds interest in somebody else. But Paul is not talking like that. In other words, I don't want to know this God and move on to find another God. But once it's not another God. But we know man, we know in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that they passed through the upper courses, and they found an inscription to an unknown God, whom they ignorantly worshiped. For those Athenians, they stood around waiting to hear something about one God or another, so like they can pick and choose. So some people that way, I want to know God initially, but after that, I want to do my own thing. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying in this text. He said, I want to know you initially, but I want to progress in this knowledge. See, it's not enough for me to be teased in my Lord. Because once you get to know Jesus, just a little bit of Jesus won't do. The woman picked up and said, I need a little more Jesus to help me along the way. What else to say here?
And understanding the wonders of his person,
uh-huh,
more strongly and more clearly.
Yes.
And that I may, in that same way, come to know the power.
Yes.
Outgoing from his resurrection.
What else to say here?
It exerts over
believers. It exerts itself over believers. Hold on. Paul is showing us a pattern here. By the way, my thought to you this morning is, have you became intimately acquainted with Jesus? Look at somebody sitting next to you and ask them, are you intimately acquainted with Jesus? And let them answer you. I want to know, do you know Jesus? I want to know, do you know the Lord? Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. What else to say here?
That I may so share his suffering. As to be continually transformed.
Yes.
In spirit, into his life, even to his death.
Uh-huh.
In the hope.
In hope. Now, let's examine a few words before we proceed in this text. He wants to know Jesus progressively. The word progressively deals with steadily, in stages. I want to know you from my infancy. I want to know you in my teenage years. I want to know you in stages or through a process, if you please. It also means in a forward-looking, innovative manner. A forward-looking, innovative manner. I want to know you. That is the adverb. Also means continuous improvement or change. It is interesting to me looking at that word progressively. And I thought to myself, to say that I'm intimately acquainted with Jesus means that there is a evolving, there is a metamorphosis, there is a metamorphosis, a changing of my person. But often when I look around the church, people that I met 15 years ago, all I see them 15 years later is the same old you. Let me know that you haven't been intimately acquainted with Jesus. It doesn't mean initially you got to know him. You might have repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You may, and I'll give you this may reluctantly, been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost initially. But somewhere along the way, you lacked progress. So as time went on, I see no metamorphosis. In other words, no unfolding of the relationship you and God have that led to improvements, that led to change. In other words, you're the same old you. Oh, God. The Bible makes it plain. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creature altogether. All things have passed away. And the Amplified said the fresh and new have come. There's a new you unfolding progressively. What else? Glory, glory. So it says here, progressively. Now we'll deal with the word deeply. Deeply. Some folks say you just think deep. Yeah, there is a negative connotation of being so deep you get lost. But that's not what Paul is saying in this text. This knowledge, this revelation, this unfolding of your character. And remember that God cannot be forced. By faith, you cause God to respond. He responds initially, and you have a faith response. When he looks down at your heart, and sees a hunger and a thirst for him, that faith draws something out of him. The Bible lets me know that a thronging of people was around Jesus in the Gospels. And he said, all of these folks are thronging me. But a woman had an issue. And the Bible said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I can be made whole. She was a demand on God in flesh. In other words, I want to know something about your ability. In other words, the Bible says that virtue left her. He said, somebody touched me. Isn't that interesting? As we live in 2018, there's a lot of people thronging around Jesus. They call themselves touching him. But somebody in the midst of the crowd touches him in faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't touch God, but I'm going to touch him intimately. This is an intimate touch. Cause virtue to cry at him. Somebody give him glory in the house of the Lord. Are y'all listening? Deeply is intensely, well within or beneath a surface. Deeply, to thorough extent or a profound degree. The Bible says that newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But after a while, as we know with our own children, for a while, Mommy and Destiny drunk some milk. They drunk the milk from their mother's breast. It is the healthiest colostrum that can bring the nutrients necessary to the children. But we know as they progress, they have an insatiable appetite that grows. After a while, the milk won't do. So it is with children. They want some meat, softer food, build them up when they develop some teeth. Same thing in the body of Jesus Christ. What happens is after a while, as you have nourished and intimately became acquainted with milk, a foundational understanding of Jesus Christ, after a while, your hunger should begin to increase. I need to know him a little better. That's why a leader must continue to progress himself. You can't stay and bring and pass out bottles for 15 years later, and you're just passing out bottles. What are you going to do about the saints who are mature? They're going to spit that milk up in your face, and then you're going to get in the flesh and wonder, you think that you're grown, 21 and then some. That's not the problem, preacher. That's not the problem, pastor. The problem is you trying to give them a bottle, and they've been around and got some drink now. They need some strong meat. Belong to them, not age. Hallelujah, Jesus. They ain't ready to progress. I can't stay the same. I'm not here to mark time. I'm here to progress. I'm here to know him deeply, beyond just the surface. Can you take me a little bit more beneath? Hallelujah, Jesus. A progressive, deeply intimate way. Let's move a little bit further. He all said the word intimately, which we draw in our text. Spiritual intimacy is our theme here at Miracle Worship Center. Spiritual intimacy. God is a spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. Through the new birth, spirit is made alive. And in that, it becomes connected in oneness with God. In the midst of that, that we get to intertwine in oneness, a love affair ensues. Hallelujah. One time we preached a message and said that Calvary or the cross is the ultimate proposal. Many people see the bloody mess, and it was a blood mess. We see all the agony of the sinner carrying the powerful. We see all of these struggles, but they didn't recognize that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was proposing to you. He asked you a question in his suffering. In other words, I'm looking for a bride. And before I can birth out a bride, I have to die. I wonder how many men of God today, up under the sound of my voice, got your wife through suffering. Or did you go out to Walmart, Kmart, somewhere else, Target or Sears, and pick out a bride according to your life? But the Bible tells me that like the first act, he put him in a deep sleep, a sleep of death, if you want to say, or a spiritual anesthesia. And out of his side, he pulled a rib and made a wounded man. It almost and we see the same thing with the last Adam. He goes to the cross and they take a spear, stick it in his side. And the Bible said, out came blood and water. In other words, out of his side, birth his bride. He did it through suffering. How did you get your woman? Somebody ought to talk to me. Glory to God. Intimately. In a way that involves detailed knowledge, in a private and personal way. Detailed knowledge, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man am? Some say that you are Elijah or Elijah. Some say that you are Jeremiah. But he turned to the one who was more intimately acquainted. We hear what the folks are saying. But y'all became a little bit more knowledgeable of me. So who say ye that I am the Son of Man? And he said, how Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. He said, thou art the Christ. There's something unique about following Jesus. Progressively trying to get to know him. He will unfold revelation of who he is. But the Bible also tells me there was many men that pursued for fame from Christ. But the Bible says he did not grant them or commit himself to them, for he knew what was in them. In other words, he knew, you don't want me for an intimate relationship. You want me for what I can do. So it is, people, that they have to be careful. All I need is a healing. And after you heal my body, I'm going on my merry way to live in the flesh. All I need, because God, I've been lonely for a while. I need you to give me a man or a woman. After I've got my man or got my woman, I'm going off in the sunset on a permanent honeymoon, rendezvous. But God said, hold up, somebody. I gave you the man. I gave you the wife to draw you closer to me so that you can know me a little better. So don't take the blessing and remove it and make it and exalt it and forget about the blessed soul. The blessed soul is expressing the blessing to draw you closer in intimacy. Somebody say, yeah, we need a closer walk with you. The old patriarch and the saints of God in the church said, just a closer walk with thee, grant Jesus, if you please. Oh, I tell you, walk with thee, let it be. Somebody said, let it be. Let's move on here. Paul continues his instructions as we get ready to close shortly here. He says, in a way that involves detailed knowledge, the power outpouring from his resurrection. That is something, as I begin to contemplate, that made me think. The problem is that many people do not have the outpouring of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can come a different way. Many people that are in the church building do not have the Holy Ghost. That is the outpouring power of the resurrection. He died. He was buried. He rose again to give us resurrection power, an overpowered ability. It is called koinonia. It is called dunamis or dunameia. It is the ability or the power, especially achieving power. In other words, it refers to intrinsic power or inherent ability that comes from God. This power that God gives us is the ability to function, not only in the lane where he put us in the body to function, but also to deal with the adverse circumstances that come our way. We find that out from Peter while he's being discipled. As you see a lot of sincere people today that come to church, we're not questioning your sincerity, but we just stay in the book. And the Bible tells us, while Jesus was training him, he said, Peter, I see how impetuous you are. How that you long to know me. How you say you love me. That you'll never forsake me. But before the crows crow, you will deny me. And it's interesting that he was sincere. I was from the pursuit of God. Oh, Lord. come, Jesus. Help me this morning. There's some people that are sincere. They have a zeal of God. Hey, Lord. But not according to knowledge. I bear them a record. Paul said they have a pursuit of God. But if intimacy is not what you think, you have an intellectual knowledge of him. And honey, that won't build. I come on, say, and the Bible says that he, when the sand came, the cock did crow, and he denied it, he began to cuss. But how many of you know that God is a redeeming God? He didn't leave Peter in a fallen shape. Because God's desire is that he dwell among men. He want to pitch a tent in the midst of you. Tabernacle himself amongst us and have intimate relationship. Just like he did in the book of Genesis. He would come visit Adam. The Bible said in the cool of the day, have an intimate rendezvous with him. Hey, God, I need you to get to know me a little bit, Adam. Before I birth your wife in the level shock. I said, she am I doing? And watch this. He restored Peter and encouraged Peter, but he empowered Peter with the Holy Ghost. He taught us a valuable lesson. Even though you might have a delay on love for God, that only can take you but so far. There's a lot of religious people. And somewhere in some church building, they're sincere. Oh God, I thank you. They read the Bible text. Some of them fast and pray, but they only have a delay on love. That word is still a definitely a brotherly love. But how many know a brotherly love won't do? You gotta take it a little step further. Yeah, come. You need to go to Jerusalem to endow with power from on high. You need the real love. And agape love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. When Peter got that love, he was able, theologians say, to be crucified upside down, for he refused to be crucified like Jesus. In other words, he endured his cross. You have to have the overflowing power of the Holy Ghost active in your life before you can partake of the fellowship of his suffering. The next person and to know him and the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. The reason folks don't suffer, either they don't have the Holy Ghost or if the Holy Ghost is in them, they don't have them. Because they haven't been consistent, a same relationship. So when adverse circumstances come, the Bible says, when your faith in the day of adversity, your sin is small. In other words, God is saying you got no sin. It's just small and minute, and you need to grow up and stand up. When you learn to stay in the arms of Jesus, let him take you through some suffering to develop your character, to make you conform to the likeness of his image. You can grow up and become a true son and daughter, and God, and know Jesus progressively. Somebody say, yes, I got to get out of here. But God wants us to know, as you're intimately acquainted with Jesus, ask the neighbor after they've heard the word, ask them one more time, are you intimately acquainted with Jesus? If you're not, I got some good news for you. Wherever you at, you can get to know him better. God ain't trying to lead you where you're at. Somebody said, but I'm all messed up with you. I just came out of the crack house. Take your crack pipe, put it in your pocket, lift your hand and rush up and say, Lord, I want to know you. Hey, God. Somebody said, I got a forest spirit. Can't seem to get out of bed. I end up in one sack with another. Oh, God, I'm here to tell you there's a remedy at the cross for whatever ails you. It doesn't matter how gross you think you are. As a matter of fact, the gross you think you are, Mary Magdalene, more that you can anoint his feet with your tears. Somebody need to cry to God. Anoint his feet with your tears. Back open your alabaster box and worship him.